Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strength4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 46, if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about dying to self and what does it really mean to deny yourself. Jesus gave these qualifications to each one of his believers, that unless we denied ourselves, picked up our cross to follow him, that we could not be his disciple. I want to share a little bit about the upcoming crusade that's going to be coming, beginning next week here in Panama. My friends Janet and Ray Clark will be here coming in on Tuesday, November 18th, and we'll begin the crusade in Panama City and Colón, and then we'll carry on to three cities across the inner portion of the country, Penonome, Agua Dulce, and Santiago, and then on to the province of Chiriquí and the cities of David and Boquete. And we're really excited about what's going to happen. My friends Janet and Ray Clark have a ministry called Third Day Power. They use strengths of feet. to demonstrate power, and they break baseball bats and blow up hot water bottles, tear up telephone books in half, roll frying pans like they're made of aluminum foil. But they have incredible strength, but they have an incredibly strong heart for God. They love the Lord, and they love to win the lost, and they love to reach the lost with their message. So they use their strengths to attract crowds, and people come to see especially a woman who can bench press. I saw her bench press just the other day on a post that she did, 332 pounds, and that's pretty amazing for a woman. But she can tear a telephone book 2.5 inches thick in half and break a baseball bat over her leg. And so many times people will want to see a woman actually be able to do this. And so it's really exciting to have them with us. Janet was my wife's maid of honor in our wedding many years ago, and she became the first woman ever to be on the power team, on John Jacob's power team. And so we go way back, and they are real precious friends of ours. But they're going to be in Panama for an entire month, and we'll be traveling the country, and we'll be doing meetings in city squares, going into prisons, schools, colleges, high schools. We'll be doing course meetings in churches, but the main thing we want to do is we want to go out where the people are. So we'll be going out on the street corners. We just received 113,000 chick tracks, just arrived, and I drove to Panama City yesterday and picked them up, and so they are in our midst, and so we're just really excited to get this thing going and see what God's going to do to win the lost. So I just want to encourage you as well that God wants us to win the loss now. This is the time of the harvest, and he's looking for laborers to go out in the vineyards, to go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come. And the problem is that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And I just encourage you to, just as the Lord reached out to you, we're to reach out to others. And God wants us all to be soul winners. The Bible says that he that wins souls is wise. And I'm going to share a little bit about tonight, about what it means to really die to self. And I'm going to start off by reading an article that I wrote a little while back. It's called Where's the Deadwood? And if you want to see this article, it's on the website under the title, category of articles. But I said here, there are many benefits to fire, and that can be seen in nature. If you're out in the wilderness and it was getting dark, the first thing you'd want to do is to build a fire. That fire would give you protection from the wild beasts during the night. That fire would give you warmth and comfort and protection from the elements during the nighttime hours. That fire would also give you light, allowing you to see your surroundings and give you guidance and direction if you needed to move about. The times we are getting getting living in now are getting dark, and we need the fire of God in our lives now more than ever. The fire of God will do the same things to us spiritually as the natural fire did for the person needing fire in the wilderness. It will give us protection from the spiritual wild beasts and the attacks of the enemy for the testimony of our faith. We will need to find comfort in the flame of God. We will need to find comfort in the ultimate comforter, the Holy Spirit. We need an ultimate relationship with Him. We all need a relationship, intimate relationship with Him in our lives now more than ever. The fire of God will bring illumination and allow us to comprehend our surroundings and give us guidance. Just as the Shekinah lit the temple of Jerusalem when the sacrifice was offered, the fire of God will light up the temple made without hands and illuminate our paths as the days we are living in are getting darker and darker. In 2 Chronicles 7:1, when Solomon dedicated the temple, the fire that ignited the sacrifice came down from heaven. And then in verse 5, the people dedicated the house of God. Today we are that house of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the time is now for that dedication. All revival needs, fire needs, is one man or woman, totally dead to self, laying down and yielding their lives on the altar. Once that process has been completed, there is something to light on fire. If anyone has ever attempted to start a fire with live wood, that is green wood, it's nearly impossible because it's still wet. It has to be dead or dried wood. Luke 9:23 requires, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Once the sacrifice of a man or woman totally surrendering their lives and denying themselves is completed, then God has some, quote, dead wood to light on fire. All reproduction begins with a seed. The Lord spoke to me many years ago that you can only reproduce in others what you already are. God is looking for dead wood to reproduce. Once He finds the dead wood to ignite the fire can spread. More dead wood is needed for revival fire to spread. But just as a forest fire spreads, as the first tree on fire dries out adjacent trees, igniting them as well, a man on fire or a woman on fire will ignite those around them too. Ignited people will ignite the world around them. God just needs that first tree to ignite. He's searching for a tree. Will you be that tree to start the fire? This is, I believe right now, the Lord is looking for people right now that will literally lay down their life for Him and do whatever He wants to do in their life. I can share just from my own personal testimony of our forsaking all about 2 years ago and coming to Panama, that the Lord has done more in my life and in my family's life than He did probably in the previous 25. And I realized that I was literally trying to save my life, that I'd even spent many years in relocating my family, going to what I would consider a safer place to live, and trying to store as much as I could for the future, that I'd literally, what the Lord even put it to me this way, is that I'd spent 13 years of my life trying to save my life. And He said, "Now I want you to lose your life for me." And it's kind of a scary thing when this is all you think you have is this life. But literally, when we lay down our life, that's when the real rebirth takes place. And I describe it many times like a caterpillar, that a caterpillar will merely die a caterpillar if it doesn't go into a cocoon. And inside that cocoon is where the metamorphosis takes place. If they don't go into a cocoon, they will never sprout wings and be able to fly. And many people right now are struggling right now with areas of sin in their life and struggling with their flesh. And the reason is, what I've discovered is that it is just the process of death has not been completed, that literally the flesh is still alive because we are alive. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." And that is so true, because once we've laid down our life and it doesn't matter anymore, then something happens. There's an element of fear or an element of intimidation or trying to please people, that goes away. It doesn't matter anymore. I heard the Lord speak to me a while back, and He said, I'm going to raise up an army of dead men that don't fear man, they don't fear the devil, and they don't fear the times we live in. And what I'm really realizing right now is that God is calling forth an army right now of men and women that will not be intimidated. They will speak the truth no matter what opposition, no matter what persecution comes to them. They will speak the truth. And I was recently on a radio program. A friend of mine, Rick Wiles, has a radio program called True News. And one thing that we are talking about on this program is that he is so frustrated with so many people that he has come on the air. Most of these are pastors that you would think that they would have, when they have an opportunity to really tell the truth, the hard truth of the gospel on the radio, that many of them cower, and they don't, that's like they cower when they're intimidated by what people might think of them if they told the hard truth. And God is not looking for ear ticklers right now. He's looking for people that are willing to tell exactly what God says to tell. And many of the churches around the country, around even around the world, is they've been built and with many a big congregation, they have big donations, they become mega churches, and they have such a huge debt cycle to fund that it's very difficult to sell and tell a hard truth. So they back off on the message, and they preach a good soft message that people can welcome, and they don't feel convicted. And I've been thinking more and more lately that the Holy Spirit is holy. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, it says when the Holy Spirit is coming, He will convict the world of sin. And that's part of His job, is to convict us of sin. That if there are things that are not right in our life, that the Holy Spirit is there to show us and reveal things to us. And He wants to reprove us, and He wants to correct us, and He wants to guide us, because honestly, the Lord is looking for a bride right now. He's looking for a bride that He says is without spot or wrinkle. And honestly, the church right now is not without spot or wrinkle. There are statistics that are very alarming to the numbers of both men and women that not only are have a strong problem with pornography, but they actually go to the Word, they are addicted to porn. There's a number of statistics that say that as many as 50% of men in American churches right now are addicted to pornography. And even some statistics that have been done anonymously have shown that as many as 50% of pastors are addicted to pornography as well. This is a big problem right now, because this is not the kind of bride that God is looking for. He's not going to marry. The Lord is not going to marry a fornicator. He's not going to marry a adulterer. He's not going to marry a liar. He's not going to marry a thief. And we need to make sure that if there are things in our life right now that are not right with the Lord, that we need to get it right now, because we don't know when He's coming back, but I feel it is very soon. The things that are happening in the world are lining up amazingly with revelations, and there's so many things happening right now that it's not going to become a more pleasant world to live in. There's great persecution that's going on across the world right now in the Middle East, and that persecution, I believe, is going to spread. And we better have our feet grounded soundly in the truth and in the Word of God, and we need to be in the Word of God. I know that there are so many things going on. We get so busy, we just have life to live, and there's so many distractions that are taking us away from what's really important right now. And right now, I really feel like the Lord is saying that we need to strengthen what remains, that we need to get our hearts right, that we need to really take a good look in the mirror, not look at everybody else's problems, because we can't save anybody else. That we're only, the only one we're ever going to be able to save is ourselves. And we're going to have to really focus on the mirror now. And God wants to use what he does in our life to change others. When I wanted to go change the world, he said, let me tell you something, son, you're never going to change anybody. The only one you'll ever change is the one you see in the mirror every morning. But the changes you allow me to make in you, I will use to change others. So God is trying to find a seed, because we can only reproduce in others what we already are. He wants us to become what he wants us to be so we can use what he's done in us to reproduce in other people. And this is what I believe will begin revival, is that we have to be revived first. The revival doesn't go to what's never been alive in the first place. Revival has to begin when those that are once alive. That's why it's revival. So the church needs to be quickened again. It needs to be made alive again. And I want to share, I want to have a song here I want to play. It's a song that's by Robin Marks, and it's called Revival.
Sure as gold is precious and the honey sweet, so you love this city and you love these streets. Every child out playing by their own front door, every baby laying on the bedroom floor, every dreamer dreaming in the dead end job, every driver driving through the rush hour bar. I feel it in my spirit, feel it in my voice. Send revival, bring them all back home. For I can hear that thunder in the distance, like a train on the edge of the town. I can feel the brooding of your spirit. May your
revive us. Revive our hearts today. Light a fire inside of us, Lord, that will ignite the world on fire. Lord, I just pray right now that each here right now would just let you do what you need to do in their life, Father. I just ask that they would lay down their life and let them become the dead wood that you need to start the fire, to start the revival fire in this world today. Thank you, Lord. You know that this is a critical time, that the harvest right now is great. I just came back from a dinner that a gentleman had here in the city where I live in Panama, and he gathered all the people that are involved in missions in this area, and we had a kind of a Thanksgiving dinner, and we want to put our heads together of what we can do to reach the lost right now. And this is what I believe the Lord is wanting to do right now. He's trying to unify the body right now, that we work together to reach the lost. I traveled for many years with a ministry that this is what they did. They went around putting on big healing crusades, and it was the people, the average everyday church pew sitter, that was the one that was praying for the sick. And the first meeting I went to was in Detroit, Michigan in 1986, and that's where I first experienced the power of God. And what was really amazing was that there was 125 or 133 churches that participated in this event in Detroit, Michigan, and there were approximately 33 or 25 different denominations, I believe, that were there. And what it really was the body of Christ uniting to reach the lost and minister to the hurting. And this is what God wants to do right now. He wants to gather us together. And I believe when I was at a conference here about a month ago with the men's ministry in Panama, I spoke on the first night and I talked about the need that we need to die to self. And this is where real life begins. That how can we be born again if we've never died once? There must be a death that precedes a new life. And the next speaker talked about the Holy Spirit and the need for the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring life into us and to revive us and to give us the power that we need to do what God's called us to do. And it was really interesting as the last message was on the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel. And what I really believe this whole message was that these dry bones, this dead wood, God's going to reassemble like he did that army in the Valley of Dry Bones, is that he reassembled all those dead pieces, all those dried up pieces, and then life came into those pieces and they became a mighty army. And I think this is what God is trying to do today, is that this is the army that God wants to raise up now. They were once dead, but God brought them to life again. And he's going to use this army to do great things for him. I had a vision here about a year and a half ago, and all I saw was a baton, like an orchestra baton. It was in a hand with a white glove, and it was tapping a podium. And when I saw this vision, I heard the words, "Everyone, attention everyone, it's time to take your places. We're about ready to make some beautiful music together." And this is what God wants to do right now. He wants to make some beautiful music together now. He wants to do something that only he can do. And he needs willing and obedient people right now to do what he wants to do. There's no other way that he can do this without the live wood laying its life down now and becoming that wood that only God can breathe life back into. And if you will do that, God will do some amazing things in your life. He will do some things on the inside that can only be done on the inside. So many of us, we think that we are something that we're not. We think we have a relationship that we really don't have. You know, one of the things that is so important right now is we need to learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, because God wants to speak to us now. He wants to give us instructions. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And this is very critical right now. For us to follow the Lord is if we need to hear His voice. We need to be so sensitive to His voice. And I've mentioned before is that it's very important, I think, that if the Lord is trying to speak to us, many times I found for me that He does this in the early morning hours, and I'll wake up many times before the sun comes up, and I know it's time for me to just roll out of bed and really hear what He wants to say. And many times I don't really hear what He wants to tell me until I get a notepad in my hand and I begin to write. And as I begin to write, the words just come into my mind and I'm writing what I'm hearing. And that's how many of these words that I get, the Lord gives me in that nighttime or that early morning hours when all the distractions are gone. And I know that the Lord is trying to get our attention right now and get us to a place where we will turn off the distractions. I heard Him say one morning, very early morning, I woke up, and I don't know if it was a dream, but I heard, turn off the distractions or I will turn them off for you. And I believe that a lot of these distractions are just false idols and are false gods. And God wants us to recognize that many of these things now that we have put in our life are just distractions, and they're taking us away from really hearing from God. And we need to just put them all down, turn off the distractions, turn off the TV, turn off the news. The Lord said to me one time, I was watching the news, and I was just trying to keep up with everything going on. And He asked me, He said, do you want to watch the news or do you want to make the news? And I think that's what He wants to do now. He wants us to quit watching the world go by. He wants us to jump in and change the world for Him. But we can't do it if we're just sitting there watching the world go by. We have to jump in and let Him do something, first of all, with us, so then He can use us the way He wants to. Thanks so much again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time.